If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
A whole bunch of stuff to talk about with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror. You can go to ctmirror.org. To read all of their stuff, really, really good journalism going on. And the first reason I wanted to talk to Paz was to talk about some of the politics, especially related to the first congressional district. But he's got a couple other items up for bid as well. Paz, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, sir.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on. I did want to get a quick question in your most recent piece about how the state's going to borrow $150 million-plus to give energy customers some relief. But this is a weird thing for me, and maybe I'm too naive or too obtuse. I don't know. We're borrowing $150 million so people can save a couple dollars on their bill. That doesn't really solve any problems. Like, why bother to do that?
Go with that first instinct that this is a weird thing. And it's also a weird thing in that people who are generally fiscally conservative when it comes to borrowing, including Governor Lamont, signed off on it. I mean, the short answer is there's a limit to what you can do in Connecticut. Connecticut is at the end of the pipeline. Connecticut is a victim of its geography to a large degree. Connecticut and the rest of the Northeast really has the most expensive electric rates. But one of the things that is under the state's control is the element of our electric bills called the public benefits charge. And, you know, there's an argument about who should bear the burden of providing relief to people who cannot afford to pay their electric bills, or who should bear the burden of investing in infrastructure that would enable the state to make progress on electric charging stations, other infrastructure things. So the decision was made in a bipartisan deal. You can give a little bit of relief by shifting some of those public benefit charges to the state credit card. So, you know, the question is, are you still paying it, but just in a different way? State borrowing is never felt as directly as is a charge that arrives in the mail every month.
Right. Yeah, it's just one of those things where I wanted to get this in before we get to politics, but we're going to have to take a break. It's like the car tax. Oh, we'll get rid of the car tax, but we'll just roll it into your property tax or some other tax. You're still paying it, right? And I'd rather see the $150 million go toward a bigger bargain to actually make things better for people long term. But if you can save $4 or $5, I doubt anyone will notice. But we continue our conversation with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror. Paz, in your time in covering politics, you have somebody such an entrenched incumbent like John Larson I. I mean, there are two people considering it, one a state rep and the other former two-time mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin. That's a lot of potential challenges and challenges within a primary in a district this guy has owned for a couple of decades.
Democratic incumbents don't face primaries in Connecticut. That has been the pattern for a long, long time for a variety of reasons. Raising money is one of them. We have public financing for state legislative races, but not for congressional races. And knocking out an incumbent is a difficult thing to do, particularly when you do not have really a wedge issue. And nobody is suggesting, none of these Democrats so far are suggesting that there is any one or two issues that are a reason for John Larson to retire. It's really this moment we're in American politics, where there is this appetite for change, particularly in a Democratic Party that's kind of looking for it to redefine itself after, a disastrous presidential cycle. And so it really gets to that this kind of vague appetite for change, as opposed to something specifically wrong with Mr. Larson's voting record.
Well, so, I mean, you think this is the influence of, you know, say, Zoran Mamdani in New York, or is this, you know, their frustration with the older set in Congress? Like, what do you, I mean, maybe there's no common thread here.
I think it's all of it. I think the New York mayoral primary certainly woke people up to that. And yes, the idea of a 33-year-old, very liberal, you know, he's a self-described socialist in New York, and Mr. Mamdani has drawn some attention. But it is also this, you know, the gerontocracy that we hear about. You know, Nancy Pelosi did step aside. Joe Biden persisted until that disastrous debate. John Larson is 77, and the four people who are either in the race or seriously looking at it, they're all in their 30s and 40s. And that's certainly part of it. But the thing that's interesting is, you know, in the case of Luke Bronin, you have somebody who has shown the ability to raise serious money. Now, the challenge for former Mayor Bronin will be to articulate what is the reason to push Larson out of office. Luke Bronin had been exploring a potential run for governor should Ned Lamont not seek a third term. So, you know, he'll have to answer for that. You know, is this just pure ambition as opposed to what it is he would want to bring to the office of U.S. representative for the first district of Greater Hartford?
Yeah, I mean, you raise a great question, because that's going to be, if he is challenged by that in that way, because, you know, he's got some some family in D.C., obviously. We won't get into too much of the personal stuff. But, I mean, it seems like, he needs to stay in politics and wants to. And this is the opportunity that is in front of him. I mean, he put his house for sale in Hartford. I doubt he's going to sell it now. You know, I'm curious just really quickly, like, do you think that Representative Jillian Gilchrist and or Bronin, Luke Bronin, do you believe they will enter the race? We already have Jack Perry from Southington. We have Ruth Fortune, who's on the school board in Hartford. But do you think those other two will go for it? And then my other quick question, and I know you won't forget it, so I'll two-part it. Was Bronin's goal to get Larson to not even finish?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Drop out?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think Bronin particularly seems pretty committed. He's making a lot of phone calls. He's now out in public. If he doesn't go forward with it, I think that's going to be very awkward for him. Gilchrist also is making a lot of calls. I don't know for certain if she'll get into it. She's certainly got some time to decide. But again, you're quickly going to get into who can raise the money, and that's part of the game. As far as Luke Bronin's effort to get John Larson out of the race, yeah, I've covered politics for a long time. I don't think I've ever encountered a little coffee conversation like John Larson and Luke Bronin did, where Bronin basically asked John, to step aside, to think about passing baton on to a new generation. And, you know, it did not go well with Mr. Larson. I had a conversation with him about that. Bronin has not been really saying anything on the record until I said, look, I had the conversation with the congressman. This is his account of that conversation. And Luke finally said something on the record. But he's been very careful. But yeah, he clearly was trying to get Larson, with whom he's had a decent relationship, you know, when during his years as mayor. And Larson's just not going for it. Now, Larson obviously had a couple of well-publicized health issues. You know, he is not Joe Biden. There's no suggestion of cognitive decline, but he did have what's called a partial complex seizure when he was on the floor of the House, where basically, you know, you freeze, you know, you can't, you know, you have trouble speaking. And it was a very alarming thing. It goes back to some heart surgery he had a long time ago. But that's, you know, that's something that'll be hanging over him every time he hesitates in public speaking, or if he's struggling for a word, which, you know, we all encounter from time to time, you know, there is going to be that hard look at him. Is he having another problem? And that's, I would think that's not a comfortable place to be.
I mean, it was a tough thing to watch, that's for sure. But I think that the bear has been poked, and he's fired up. I mean, he's added a lot to his schedule, and he looks like he's ready for a fight, and he admits it's gotten his juices flowing a little bit. We're talking with Mark Pasniokas from CT Mirror. Again, go to ctmirror.org and support the journalism that they do. I wanted to ask about the governor stuff. You know, listen, as a media person, I want to see an open seat. I have no problem with, I've said this many times on the show, I have a good relationship with the governor, but it'd be great if we had an open Republican nominating process and an open Democratic one. It'd be super fun to cover. We'd get them all on, and it'd be great. Are you assuming, like I am, that Lamont is, like, what, 90, 95% in?
Yes. He, as I wrote the other day, he walks like a candidate. He talks like a candidate. His office is running as though they are in reelection posture. I don't think he is 100% in his decision yet, but boy, he is certainly acting like he's pretty much there. He, there is some dissatisfaction with him on the left, and you have this liberal coalition that just did a poll to test some messaging, which I believe that was really an effort to kind of make him think twice about running, or conversely, to get him to be a little bit more welcoming about some of their issues, including tax reform and housing bill.
Yeah. And so, like, just quickly, because we only have like a minute, because you assume that, I mean, Josh Elliott, I mean, listen, maybe he's trying to capitalize on that, the Mamdani momentum and some dissatisfaction on the left. But the real interest to me is on the right, whether it's in this election or the next one with Aaron Stewart and Ryan Fazio. I'm just curious. We only have about 30 seconds. Do you think that they both run, and which one do you think has a better chance to get that nomination?
Well, Aaron, definitely. Ryan Fazio is telling people he's very serious. The problem both of them will have is to win a Republican primary right now, you will have to pledge your loyalty to Donald Trump, which is not a winning posture to go into a general election with. So that's, you know, if you're Ryan Fazio, and particularly if Lamont runs, do you want to just wait for the next cycle when it would be an open race? And maybe at that point, the Trump question goes away. So, I mean, those are, Aaron Stewart, who has kept her distance from Trump for most of her career, she's all in now because she's looked at what it takes to win a primary, a Republican primary, even in blue Connecticut.
I don't understand. Like, for her, we got to go, but she's in a tough spot because she's leaving the mayor's office. So she kind of has to run because she needs to stay in people's, you know, in people's eyes. Fazio, I don't know why he didn't just stand pat and wait and serve for a couple more years and then do it. But again, sometimes the opportunity chooses you. You don't choose it. Paz, I'm sorry. We're up against the clock. I appreciate it as always. And we'll try to build in even more time next time.
All right. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Brian.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.